Father, this morning we know we are nothing, but by through you, through your Son Jesus, Lord, that we what we have attained is freely given to us only after we have received it, Lord. And tonight, or this morning, I just pray that we receive this morning as through the lips of Chad here. I just pray you calm his spirit, but give him the boldness to speak. Give him the joy of sharing his life this morning that brings you glory and honor, that testifies of your great salvation, Lord, from man. I just pray, Lord, that your will be accomplished through this remainder of this service. And I just pray that as we commit it to you, that you will show your way in each of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning and welcome. Greetings in Jesus' name. It's good to be here. And I confess I feel weak this morning, but it's about God and his word. And so let's look to God and his word this morning. And we're blessed today to have a good portion of our children and grandchildren here. And a couple of weeks ago, Todd asked me if this Sunday, while the ministry is away at the convention, if I would share our journey. And for those of you that are visiting, Carmen, my wife, has been on a cancer journey for a little over a year. And so this is about our journey. And I said, Todd, I said, this is our journey. And I said, it wouldn't be appropriate if she could not be here. And so one of the things that she has dealt with is platelets. If your platelets are low, you're subject to germs and so on. And 2 weeks ago, as you recall, she had low platelets. They were 55,000, and a normal healthy person is 150,000 to 450,000. So, as you remember, I had appealed to Todd to put it out, and I had appealed to friends, and people were praying. And this last week, we did blood, and on Wednesday morning, we got the results. And they were 107,000, and we had prayed specifically that they would need to make 100,000 for her to come today. And my wife enjoys being specific with God, and she didn't just ask that they would be 100.001. She wanted them to be in excess, clearly, and they were 107,000. So that was an answer to prayer. And you prayed for that, and we want to thank you for that. And so, because it's our journey, we're married, we're one flesh, and so she needed to be here today, and she is here. And she's going to come up here after a bit, and she's going to share some things. So I read something a little humorous this last week, and my grandchildren enjoy going out in the evening and catching fireflies. And we put them in a jar, and they light up. And they're amazing creations of God. And this saying says, if God can light up a bug's bottom to decorate the night sky, imagine all he can do with your life. And, you know, on this journey, God has done amazing things in our life. And so we would like to share. But I was thinking about this being Sunday. And I realized it needs to be about God and his word. And our journey is primarily about those two things. So as I was thinking about the Word of God, it is so amazing. It's from God. It's who he is. It's God's nature and character. It's the blueprint for a successful life. It's our hope. It's perfect. It's complete. It's amazing. And Hebrews 4:12 says, the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, if you'll notice in that verse, it talks about the body, soul, and spirit, and that's what we are, three parts. It says, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and joints and marrow, which is our body. And marrow, by the way, is our immune system. We've learned that on this journey. White blood cells are what defend our bodies from infections. So if the bone marrow does not work right, the white cells are not produced in adequate numbers, or with normal function, and the body becomes at risk for infection. So isn't it amazing? The Word of God affects the body, soul, and spirit literally. And also in that first part of that verse, it says the Word of God is living. Now, what does that mean? Well, when God gave the Word in written form for us, and remember, the Word is who God is. It was thousands of years ago what He gave for successful living, and it is today. It's living. It's alive. So I want to look at some scriptures. You can follow along, and I have a theme that I would like for you to notice, and I'm going to see if you can understand that theme as we read some of these scriptures. And it's a theme that pertains to our journey. And I have one in 1 Peter 1, verses 3 to 9. 1 Peter 1, 3 to 9. So notice the theme as we look at some of these scriptures. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. There's that word living again. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So you might keep your finger there, and I'm going to read a few other scriptures. One is Psalm 66:10. Psalm 66:10, for you have tried us, O God. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid an oppressive burden upon our loins. You made men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet you brought us out into a place of abundance. Another scripture in Isaiah 48:10. Isaiah 48:10, behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. And another one in Daniel 12:10. Many will be purged, purified, and refined, but the wicked will act wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand, but those who have insight will understand. The theme I'm looking for is refining and purifying. God has been purifying us, reshaping us, making us into the image of his Son, getting the dross out of our lives and showing us things that needed cleaning in our lives, rooms we were keeping from him. And you know, on this journey, there's so much that God has showed us, and we've enjoyed so much, and lately, we've talked a lot about what we call the rapture, and that's an exciting thing to think about. And so I want to spend just a couple minutes, because if you notice in two of these scriptures that I read, that it is mentioned in 1 Peter 1, 3 to 9, it mentioned in the last time, and that's referring to the last days. And then it says, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, referring to Christ coming. And then I read a scripture in Daniel that said, many will be purged, purified, and refined. And if you look at the context of that scripture, it's referring to the last days. And it says, many will be purged, purified, and refined in this time period of the last days. And it says, but the wicked will act wickedly, and we are seeing wickedness at an unprecedented scale today. And it says, none of the wicked will understand, but those who have insight will understand. So it's an interesting subject, and it's a different subject for another time, but the rapture is a wonderful subject to remember. And one of the commentaries I read about this scripture from 1 Peter even tied in Daniel 12 that I read, and I didn't realize there was a connection, but it said that there are several words and thoughts in this whole passage which would suggest that Daniel 12 was before the mind of the apostle more or less consciously. That was a commentary that I read. John 3:1-3 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And notice this next part. It says, "And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." So on this theme of purifying, it says here that when we have the hope of the rapture, it is has a purifying effect on us. And just one other comment about the rapture. Matthew 24 says that two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left, and two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. And paraphrased today, that might read, two men working at the RV factory, one will be taken and the other left. That would give the indication it's going to be a normal day. We wake up and go to work. And so it's exciting to think about that. Now, as you recall, we had an anointing for Carmen on May the 21st in 2017, and it was a beautiful experience. And we believe without a doubt that Father God could have healed Carmen on the spot with a lightning bolt. But he chose to take us on a journey, and so her anointing is an anointing in process. God wanted more of us. He wants all the rooms in our hearts, and it's because he is a jealous God. If you go buy a car, do you want the whole car? How would you feel if you bought a car and it only came with two wheels, no trunk lid, four spark plug wires instead of eight, half of the brake pedal, and only two windows? Exodus 34:14 says, "For you shall worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. Lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they play the harlot with their gods, and make sacrifice to their gods, and one of them invites you, and you eat of his sacrifice, and you take of his daughters for your sons, and his daughters play the harlot with their gods, and make your sons play the harlot with their gods." God is jealous. He wants all of us. And that's been one of the things that he has revealed to us, that he wants all of our lives. So this thought of purifying, gold ore, when it's discovered in nature, is usually found combined with stones and other metals such as silver and lead. This natural state does not display gold's aesthetic virtues, nor does it easily permit workers in gold to fashion jewelry. Gold refiners use several different methods to remove these impurities and achieve a high level of purity in the final product. Removing impurities through melting the ore is a method they have used for thousands of years. So in that process, you place the gold ore in a container called a crucible, and you put the crucible in a furnace, and you heat it to 1,100 degrees Celsius. And when you do that, the dross will rise to the surface, and you periodically remove the crucible from the furnace and skim the impurities off the surface of the molten gold, and you stir the gold after each removal of dross and before returning it to the furnace, and you repeat this process until the dross quits rising. And so that theme of purifying and is something that God has been doing in our journey, in this journey. So May 15 of 2017 is when we received this devastating news of Carmen's colon cancer that had metastasized to her lungs and liver. And so many times we've stared death in the face. Many times we've looked to God and grown closer to God in this journey. And I'll never forget those first 2 weeks. Carmen and I walked a lot those first 2 weeks, and we would go to our favorite places here in Goshen, the Fiddler Pond and the Goshen Dam, and we would enjoy our walks together and spending time together, sharing our hearts. And with each other and with God, and I distinctly remember some of those days being very windy, and it felt like we could escape from the world and connect. And on this journey, many times I made the comment, I said, wouldn't it be nice if God would just send down sticky notes and tell us what to do? And you know, we found out that he does that. Matthew 7:7 confirms this. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. And we discovered this in a new way. And do we really believe this? And we have found it to be so true. When you seek God, he gives you answers. He does send sticky notes down. And also one time last year, somebody asked me if we see this as God's plan or will for our lives. And I thought about that, and I firmly believe that God does not bring cancer or sickness to his children, because sickness is a part of the fall and sin, but he does allow it to come to his children. And we find that with Job. God allowed a lot of things, a lot of bad things to come to Job. So what I'd like to do now is share some scriptures that God brought to us that first week and bathe in the Word. And that first week, I'll never forget, God brought the Word to us in the most amazing ways every day of the week. And that stands out. And so that's the proof of the power in the Word. For example, I was doing some exercising at the gym in Napanee. And I remember one morning going in there that first week, and I went to the men's locker room, and on the sink there was a little 6x6 plaque that had fallen on its face, and I naturally went down to set it up. And here's what it said, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and hope. And that same week at the gym, there was a dry erase board that had Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in you. That is an amazing promise. Did you catch that? It says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. And today in Sunday school, we talked about a promise, promises in God's Word. And Brother Aaron mentioned how we have to do our part. And If you notice, all of the promises in the Scripture have a part we have to do to unlock them. In this one here, it says that we can have perfect peace if our mind is stayed on Him. And that's amazing, but we have to do that. We have to keep our mind stayed on Him. Another Scripture that came, and some of these, when I read them, have a few extra things attached to them. I put them down as they were given to us. Just a couple verses from Psalm 103. I believe someone texted this to me. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, Psalm 46:1. Thinking of you and praying for you, love you both so much, Mom. Just wondering how things went for you today. You have been heavy on my mind, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you, 1 Peter 5:7. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved, Psalm 55:22. You are heavy on my heart and in my prayers. May God give you a good day. Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And Psalm 57:1, be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. And then that Friday, something amazing happened in the morning. Two different ladies from two different states sent a scripture to Carmen from Psalm 91. And that psalm reads like this: He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge, and His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. God brought scriptures every day of the week that first week, and it was the most amazing experience. And this whole journey has been about the Word and about God. And we have been so amazed at the power of the Word and how it's living, it's alive for us today. And you know, along this journey, the enemy has been very real, and he has tried to trip us up numerous times. And I remember a time when I would wake up at night a lot, and I would start thinking about Carmen's health and about finances and about decisions. And it became a fearful thing. I'd wake up and I would think, and I couldn't sleep. And then God showed me this amazing story from Scripture. And I want to read it, and then I want to share how it affected my life. And it's from Matthew 14:22. Immediately, Jesus made His disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side, while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray. Now when evening came, He was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered Him and said, "Lord, if it is You, command me to come to You on the water." So He said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out His hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why do you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped Him, saying, "Truly, You are the Son of God." God showed me that story. And I remember realizing if I want to put that to practice, I had to do my part. And so I would wake up. And the very next few next days, I remember waking up at night, and I would, instead of looking at the waves, at the fear, I immediately would look at Jesus. And look at the contrast. If you look at the waves, if you look at your fear, you sink. But if you look at Jesus, you walk on water. That's a big difference. And so, if you look at your fear, if you look at the waves, you tend to go, it takes you into a mode of worry and fear, and you can't look at the waves, you can't look at your fear, you have to look at Jesus, and the sooner the better. So I'm going to ask Carmen to start working her way up here, and Brother Leroy's going to bring a bar stool for her. You might offer a mic, please, that would work good for her. As she's coming up here, God has been doing an amazing work in our lives, and He's been doing amazing things in Carmen's life, and He's been revealing Himself to us in many ways, and some of those ways have been very literal. And so she's going to share some of those things.
I'll try to share and do my best. There's some very close happenings for me. And so they hold a very special spot. And I know each happening. God had me in the palm of his hand. And I know that you all know that there's been hard battles for us. Not just the physical, but also spiritual and emotional. And Chad shared about his fear, and that's one thing that God really worked on in my life, is fear. And sometimes I think I have it conquered, and it's not. And we know that's the devil coming, and I find myself walking around my house a lot. When I'm by myself, talking out loud to God and telling the devil to leave. I'll share one thing with you. I call it sitting at the feet of Jesus. I'm not exactly sure in the date of this, but I know it was before when we went to California in September. And we were in the living room. And we had had our devotions. And we had prayed. I had prayed, and then Chad had prayed. And as he was praying, I found myself sitting at the feet of Jesus with my arms stretched up. And his arm was reaching down. We finished praying, and Chad knew right away something had happened.
I remember after it happened, and she shared that. I said, you know, I said, it's what happens every day. We just don't see it. We can sit at the feet of Jesus, and she literally saw him, and he reached his hand down, so it was very special. But it happens every day, and we just don't see it. And I told her that God is revealing himself to us.
And as I continue this, you're going to see kind of a pattern that Chad has picked up on it. And this was another time I was laying back on our bed. It was a very low day. Chad came in, and he was sitting on the edge of the bed, and we were talking. And then he prayed. And as he was praying, I saw the image of Jesus. And all around him, there was a glow. And again, when we stopped praying, Chad knew right away something had happened. Mother's Day, 2018. Chad decided to stay home with me and not come to church. So we went to our favorite spot, the Goshen Dam. That spot holds lots of memories for us. We'd even go there for our dating days. We'd go on walks. This time we were just sitting in our vehicle because I was too weak to walk. We read our Sunday school lesson and we prayed. And it was springtime. So in the spring it's getting lush green. And as we finished, I opened my eyes. And for a split second, I don't think think I was in Earth. It was the most lush emerald green I've ever seen in my life. I blinked, and that lush emerald green was gone. And it was just the normal look. Those were three incidences for me. My next one, I call it Hearts in the Sky. As a child, I loved to watch the sky. I don't know for you children how many of you like to look at the sky and just think, if you could lay up there in the clouds with your hands behind your head. And as I grew older and I flew, I realized you flew through the clouds. And then I wished I could lay down on them again. So I watched the sky a lot. And with all our travels going in down to Texas, we watched the sky a lot. And in the last week, we were driving. I just like to get out and go with him, to get out of the house. And the first time, we were driving along and I looked up. And I said, look, there's a cloud in the shape of a heart. But he didn't see it. And I just felt it was special for me. The second time, I was sitting at my dining room table holding our youngest grandson, Dominic. And we were watching it rain. The clouds were moving in, you know, while the sky gets all gray. And the clouds just, it was just getting all gray, and it was moving in. And I looked up, and there was a heart just before the gray covered it all. And in that heart was a cloud. And this cloud was glowing. And I just got all excited again. I said, look, a heart. And they missed it. This last week, on Tuesday, we were coming home from blood work. It was a beautiful sunny day. We were on our road, and I looked up, and the tears just ran, and I said, another heart. Look. And Chad looked, and he goes, I see it. I'm going to let him share why these hearts are so close to me on this journey. And I don't know if you picked up, but my happenings have been happening in threes. And Chad's the one that picked up on that he said you had three hearts in a week. So that's all I really want to share. I just want to thank you all for your prayers, your texts, your cards, your gifts. You have no idea what they mean to me. I leave each one of you. And just to keep praying for us on this journey. Because I know I serve a faithful God.
Carmen's seen those hearts, and you know, a couple of things that God showed us. He loves us. He was showing her that he loved her, and you know, as we grow in our Christian experience, we have those times when we grow, and we sometimes look back and realize we wasted a lot of selfishness and things that weren't really for God. And so sometimes then the enemy comes and he'll say things like, see, you're not saved. You've done all that stuff. And so some of those things that Carmen felt, these hearts were just a confirmation that God loves and that he really has our best interests, and he's not just somebody up there with a big stick. I think some of you know from sharing in Sunday school, and I don't have time to go into these next couple things here, but God took us to California and to Texas in each instance. There were some dangerous things to look out for, and I've shared some of this with the brothers, and I don't have time. But we've asked our family to pray for healing. We've asked you, our church family, to pray, and we've asked a lot of friends. And sometimes we see movements out there that offer these healing sessions. And one of them was right there in Houston, Texas, where we were. And somebody from the area had called me and wanted to know if they would come down, if we'd go to the service. And I didn't make a lot of comments to him, but I thought about it, looked up some things on the website, and I was reading how this church does these manifestations of supernatural signs and wonders. And I realized that if we can appeal to God as a church family and as a family, what do they have that we don't have? And I was reminded of a verse in Matthew 7:21. It says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" And so I thought about that, and I realized, you know, they have a different spirit. We have the Holy Spirit as God's children, but they have a different spirit from the enemy. And so there's a lot of that around us, especially in the last days. People are driven toward where there's power, where there's supernatural. And so that was some interesting things that I can't spend a lot of time on. We have so much thankfulness to you, our immediate family, and to you as our church family. For example, we recently had something interesting show up at our front door. It was blueberries and a packet of $100 bills. Fresh blueberries, just freshly picked. And that was a blessing. And so in this journey, and there's so much to share, and it was hard to know how to bring it together. So there's a lot of bad things, and there's amazing things. And 1 Peter 5:6-9 says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." You know, the devil, it says here, is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's been very real in this journey. And I'm going to share a few things. There's so many things, but I'm going to share a few things. And, you know, it says here, if we resist him, he flees. And we've experienced that. We had some bad things happen soon after we got the news last year. We were headed home and making a turn, and we got rear-ended just in the middle of all this. And it was just one of those little bad experiences. And then we had another experience with a flat tire. And one evening, we had just got home from Texas, and I woke up in the middle of the night. And, you know, sometimes a woman's ear is tuned to the baby, but men are tuned to things like the sump pump not running. And I thought I heard some noise downstairs, and our mound septic system has a filter. And I knew I needed to clean that in the first quarter of the year. But we were away most of that time, so I didn't feel it was any urgency. But I immediately thought I was maybe hearing some gurgling water, and I got up and went downstairs, and I also had a horrible migraine coming on. And I could hear some water in the breather vent down there, and I thought, you know, I better check the filter. And I went outside, and I pulled the lid off, and sure enough, it was backing up. And in the meantime, Carmen came to the window to see how I was doing. And as she got to the window, she fainted, fell, hit her head. I didn't know any of this was happening. This was in the middle of the night, and I remember I felt like I needed to take something from my migraine, so I went in the house, I took something, and I went and talked to her, found out what happened to her. We prayed, and I walked outside to go to the shop to get some tools to take some things apart, to look inside the system, and as I walked in the shop, I felt the presence of the enemy, and I knew the neighbors were sleeping, but I was in the shop, and I very loudly, I rebuked him in the name of Jesus, and I mentioned the blood of Jesus, and I just declared him to flee from the property. And you know, we looked into those pipes, we got them cleared out, and I went inside, and I was a little bit hot, and I just felt I needed to cool off before I went back to bed. So I went downstairs, because in the meantime, it did backflow, and the softener was trying to run, so some water had ran down in, and I was just drying up a few things that got wet. I went upstairs and I climbed into bed, and as I laid there in the first minute or two, I heard my phone vibrate, and I don't usually bother with my phone in the middle of the night, and I was going to leave it, but something prompted me to check it. And I checked it, and it was Friday, February 16 at 3:25 a.m., and our doctors from California are a husband and wife team that are believers, and she had sent a text message with Carmen, myself, and her husband on it, so four of us on the text message. And it said this at 3:25 a.m., "I am up thinking and praying for you both. You are on our hearts. Give us an update as you can. I am remembering God's promise over your life, love and blessings." And I was just astounded. It was like an adrenaline rush. And we realized that when we go through things and the enemy tries to come in like a flood, we seek him, rebuke him. God has people thousands of miles away that are praying for us. And that was an amazing experience. Another experience, we went down to Texas one time, just pulled into town in Houston there. And I went into Trader Joe's to get some supplies, some water and some things. And I was ready to check out. And I walked by a register, and a man had just got into to that section of the bay to check people out, and he said, "I can help you." So I went in there, and he mentioned how nice the weather was, and I said how we just pulled in from Indiana, and he asked if we were here for the rodeo. It's a whole month-long rodeo, and I replied, "We are here for cancer treatment for my wife." He asked me for her name and said we'd be praying for her this evening. And then he pushes over an orchid plant and says, "Give this to her." And orchids are one of her favorite plants. We took that back to the room and enjoyed it all week. And it was a real blessing. That was a real God moment. So, you know, as we reflect on this journey, we're not the same people we were a year ago. And one of the things that's become so amazing on a new level is having a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, a husband and wife, they have a close relationship. Friend to friend have close relationships. And when you have that, you talk about everything. You talk about what's important in your life, from your hobbies to your interests to what you like to eat to everything. And we're made in the image of God, and so he wants that kind of a relationship from us every day. And that has been very amazing in a new level, is how God wants that each day, a personal relationship. And so as we think about this journey, as God's children, he is our Father and he wants the best for us. He always has our best in mind. 2 Peter 3:8 and 9 says, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day." The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so a question I have you ever thought about God as a daddy? And I enjoy what Adrian Rogers from Love Worth Finding Ministry says about this. Galatians 4:6, "And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Abba is the Aramaic word meaning daddy. Father is father. It's a term of warm affection, intimacy, and respect for one's father. Now, to some, that may sound like an irreverent way to address God, but Jesus called God our Father in 6:9, and he gave us that same right. And in America, children call their fathers daddy, but in the Middle East, they say Abba. Jesus says that we can call the great God of the universe Abba Father or Daddy Father." Another verse in Romans 8:12 that refers to this. "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. But if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you, by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba Father, or Daddy Father." So I mentioned earlier that we have a body, a soul, and a spirit. And God wants all the cancer and disease out of our spiritual lives as well, because he loves us so much. And early in this journey, we ask God a lot, why? But we don't anymore, because we know why. He wanted more of us. He wanted to purify us. So I have one thing that happened to me 2 weeks ago that was an amazing experience for me. And I'm going to be sharing that, and it has to do with a song that Brother Tim is going to play when we get to that point. But before I share that, I want to just give a brief timeline for everybody to understand where we're at in this journey with the physical part. May 15 of 2017 is when we received the news that her colon cancer was back and had metastasized. Chemo was not our first choice because it's poison and not natural to our bodies. And so we did some things like eliminate sugar, which feeds cancer, dairy and gluten, did a lot of vegetables, smoothies with berries, did some vitamin C infusions. However, in August, the CAT scan showed that we were slowly losing the battle. In September, we went to California and did extensive blood work for nutrition and also did some body baths. And those were amazing and give her a lot of energy and a lot of help for a few weeks. And then in December, the scan showed that we were losing. The tumors were larger, and we prayed that God would boldly show us the way. And a lot of you remember that story, and for lack of time, I'm not going to share it, but God boldly showed us through some friends about this clinic in Texas where we could do the treatment called antineoplastin, which is gene therapy. But they also said that the chemo treatment would help push it back quickly. So we felt with God's leading us there, we trusted them. And in January, her tumor marker was 159. 6 weeks later, it had dropped to 56. And then we've been doing treatments every 3 weeks. And in April, the cancer marker went all the way down to 18. And the March scan showed significant decrease in the tumors. So here we are, 8 treatments later. And the June scan has showed a slight increase. So that means that her body's developing resistance. So we feel like we're at a crossroad again. And so with much prayer and seeking, we're not leaning toward doing more chemo. They are offering 2 different strains, but one of them has the potential to cause death in the first minute, and if you're allergic to it. And we feel like after 6 months, her body would not be able to take more of that kind of poison, and so we're leaning away from that. We have a lot of hope, though. We're not giving up. We're doing a handful of things, natural things. We're also going to be doing this next week some ozone therapy down close to Rochester. We're excited about that. And so that's a bit of a timeline where we're at. And God has been so amazing. He has us in a mode of trusting him when we can't see very far ahead. So a couple weeks ago, I was out for about 2 hours. Carmen has not driven since last October because chemo can give you brain fog, and she didn't trust herself. So I've been doing the running, and I had about 2 hours of running, and I just didn't feel like playing music. I wanted to meditate and enjoy the beautiful sky, and I had done my last stop in Napanee, and I was headed home, and there's about 5 miles to home. And I had an urge to hit my power button and see what kind of a song might be playing. And as I did that, a song was playing I had never heard. And the words that I caught were from the chorus, and it was talking about a valley and how at the edge of a valley there's a mountain. And I quickly Googled, got the song, went home and shared it with Carmen. And it's been an amazing song with an amazing meaning. And the title is "He Sees What We Don't." And so I've asked Tim if he would share that song. And then Dustin is here, our son from Alberta. And I've asked him to make any comments and close with prayer before Aaron takes over from there.
Faith put to the test. this all understanding. He sees the sun through the rain. And though you may see your valley, he sees the mountain you'll be standing. Tears falling down. I'm so glad he sees what we don't. And I am so glad he sees what we
I'm so glad he sees what we don't. Any of you out there ever wish you could be in control? I sure don't. You talk to people about the weather and it seems like you always have something to complain about and not really anything you can do about it, but we sure like to complain. I'm glad I'm not in control. I'm glad I serve a king, a savior who is. Dad wanted to know if I would share a little bit this morning, and I've debated and asked God where I should go with it. And thinking over the last month and a half or so, we had some missionaries on sabbatical back home for a month. And in conversations with them and hearing their hearts and what they had to share and thinking about the journey that Mom and Dad have been on and over the last few weeks, some conversations I've had, there's been something that keeps coming up. God keeps reminding me. And each of us here this morning are on a journey. Each one of you, I don't know you all as good as I know the church back home, but we're all on a journey. And some of us are on a journey that maybe isn't so obvious. In Mom and Dad's case, it's very obvious the journey that God has them on. But we're each traveling on a journey. We're each on a path. And as humans, it's difficult to keep things in perspective. Sometimes we feel like we've got it under control, but God soon lets us know that we still need him. There was a story shared this morning briefly about a guy who enjoys working out. There's a few guys back home that really enjoy going to the gym, a few young guys. But the scripture says that it doesn't matter how strong physically you are, you still need to lean on God. And a few verses that I'd like to read here quickly. One is from Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And then also in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind." He's talking about the Holy Spirit in both these cases. Dad mentioned the Holy Spirit this morning. When you feel overwhelmed on your journey, remember that you have a spirit, not of fear, but of power. Jesus promised that spirit to his disciples after he left, because they weren't sure what they were going to do without him. This morning, we don't have Jesus in the physical sense here with us, but we have a spirit of power. Don't be afraid. Stand up. Fight for him. Be a light. Be a witness. This morning, I want to bless you as a church. Thank you for the blessing that you have been to Mom and Dad. Thank you for the encouragement. I ask that you continue to do that. I know you will. Thank you for being there for them, for your prayers, and I just want to bless you for that. And I'd like to close with prayer here. Father in heaven, we continue to pray, to thank you for who you are. God, thank you for your presence in each of our lives. Thank you for the control that you have over us. Thank you that we don't have to worry about tomorrow. All we have to do is trust you because you've got it taken care of. Thank you for your son. Thank you for the opportunity to worship together this morning. God, I pray that you would bless each of us. I pray that we would continue to serve, to seek you, to honor, to glorify you with our lives, and that we would remember to look to heaven for our strength for each day. And as we travel, as we journey through life, that we would let the Holy Spirit work in us and work through us and to use us for what you've called us to. Pray these things in your name. Amen.